Good morning, Cowboys Nation. And for those wondering, that's morning with a U, because the Cowboys are really down in the depths this week after getting absolutely blown out by the Lions this past Sunday. So we're all feeling it. We're all just in bad moods right now, like the Hulk in the Avengers. That's our secret. We're always angry, and we are very angry this Tuesday morning coming to you at the Writer's
Block. Feeling very green right now, David.
Yeah, feeling very green. Actually, none of us are wearing green, for those watching on YouTube.
I can never wear an Eagles uniform.
We should have planned it out better, but that's my fault as the host, David Hellman, here, joined by Chris Halling, Brandon Clements. Guys, I kind of set us up with the Hulk quote of, I'm always angry. What are your guys' like go-to pop culture reference? Could be a song, could be a movie, for when you're just like, you're angry. What's the best way to like emblemize how upset you are after this game?
Well, recently I just finished watching Succession, which is a great show. Enjoyed it. And now when I get, or like when I think of being angry, I think of when Tom comes into Greg's like office and like the mail room, he just flips over the entire table and he's just like yelling, even though it's technically not him being angry. I think it's him like celebrating because he finds out he's not, you know, in trouble that he thinks he's in. But that's just what I would think about getting angry. That's just,
yeah, I mean, just like pure physical rage.
Just pure physical, just like throwing stuff and just, you know, just moving anything out of my way that I could. Can't really think of anything else off the top of my head, but you know, I'm a cinephile for sure, so I'm sure that I could think of some if you gave me some more time.
There you go. Are you the Tom Wamsians of your life? Is that who you identify with from Succession?
No, I would not identify with Tom Wamsians. I have so much to rant about the way that they ended that show that I could have a whole podcast about that, but I'm not going to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, because it fairly is a recent, or it's a fairly recent show that just concluded. So I'm not going to spoil it for anyone listening, but
that's good. And I'm pretty sure Brandon has probably never even heard of this show.
I never heard of Succession.
He's not hip with it, but Brandon, what's your go-to? You've had more time to think about it than Chris, who I put on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick something, it's something from, you know, like Happy Gilmore, you know, Adam Sandler, you know.
Get in your phone.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was going to do. I mean, you could do that. You could do like the putter throw, or, you know, you know, or, you know, he goes after the guy who does Jackass, you know, all the, you know, that whole thing, Bob Barker, you know, that whole stuff. So I go with those references because, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not a big movie guy. Like, I'm not a big movie person like you guys are. So that's pretty much what I can come up with off the top of my head. I mean, I watch a lot of like, you know, mob kind of movies, like, so, or like TV shows. So like anything like gritty, angry from like Sylvester Stallone will do, like anything like Rambo or something. So that's where I'm at. It was, I was not pleased about the game. Obviously, you know, 47-9, like that was the worst blowout. Like I was not happy. The only game that was, in my opinion, was worse was probably that blowout against Philly like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I remember watching it at my uncle's house. It was like, it was just from the beginning. I believe it was a Romo game, if I'm not mistaken, but
was that the 08 season?
I believe it was.
It was the last game of the year. They were in playoff contention and just got absolutely butchered.
Yeah, they got throttled. That was the only other game that like really came to mind when I felt like that was like just atrocious performance. But at that point, the difference here is, and I know we'll get into a little bit more, is in all honesty, I guess I'm not surprised in hindsight because of all the injuries. And I know we'll get into that. So that's why I still put that Eagles Cowboys game, you know, from many years back, I still put it just a notch above just because of that. So, I mean, I want to hear what your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, and losing to the Eagles is always the worst case scenario anyway. I do really like your pull of Happy Gilmore, though, especially when he's saying like, are you too good for your home? Because the Cowboys are winless at home this year. They haven't won a game in AT&T Stadium in the calendar year, going back to that playoff loss, of course, to the Packers, where we all thought, oh, they were undefeated at home last year, thought for sure they're going to win against Jordan Love and the rinky-dink Packers in Dallas, got blown out there. And it's like they're broken. They can't perform at home. I mean, the Saints blew them out. The Ravens blew them out for three quarters, and now the Lions have blown them out. It's like get them out of here. Get them on the road. And of course, they're going into their bye this week. And then after that, they are on the road, but it's against the 49ers. And not exactly a great team to try to rebound against.
Yeah, exactly. Happy Gilmore yelling, get in the hole, get in your home or whatever, go to your home. That's exactly how I was feeling, but I was yelling, get in the red zone the whole game because they just could not reach the end zone. And it's been a theme all season long is that, you know, like they're just settling for field goals. And, you know, I drafted Brandon Aubrey in fantasy. So, I mean, I'm reaping the benefits of it, but I'd much rather see the Cowboys, you know, like actually have some success, get in the red zone. And that's something that they really, a lot of fans wanted them to address this offseason, and they didn't really bring in, I feel like, a good 50-50 receiver. You know, didn't really, you know, settle the running situation. I know that Ezekiel Elliott was supposed to help the red zone offense, but I mean, in my opinion, it looks like Ezekiel Elliott's just like running through mud on the field. It's like he has no explosion anymore. I think the only way Ezekiel Elliott helps the running game in the red zone is if it's at the 1 yard line, because he's a big running back and he can maybe push forward. But I mean, just his explosiveness when he's on the field versus when Rico Dowdle on the field is just a clear difference. It's kind of like when Tony Pollard was, you know, coming on the scene and they were still kind of favoring Ezekiel Elliott. I was arguing back then, hey, Tony Pollard is going to give you more juice when he's on the field than Ezekiel Elliott is. And I think that we as fans can appreciate what Elliott has done for the Cowboys in his career. I mean, he's one of the best running backs in franchise history. And that's saying a lot given, you know, the whole Cowboys organization. We've had a lot of really, really good running backs come through that organization. But I mean, I feel like any carry that they give Ezekiel Elliott is just a missed opportunity, because Rico Dowdle, I mean, he had less carries than Elliott this last game. And, you know, Ezekiel Elliott had 8 carries for 17 yards, which is just 2.1 yards per carry against the Lions. Dowdle came in and had 5 carries for 25 yards, which is 5 yards per carry. I mean, it's a clear difference in, you know, an effective running game. And I think that that's just a huge problem with this offense. I think that they just need to start really making, you know, I think that they just need to start making Dowdle the bell cow running back. And I know that you were a big running back by committee guy, David, heading into the season, but I just don't think Elliott should even really be a part of that committee. I think it's time to give Dalvin Cook a shot and, you know, actually, you know, like elevate him from the practice squad and see what he can do, because there's really just no impact from Elliott unless it's pass blocking.
Well, and on pass blocking, I mean, they're not even using Zeke in pass blocking.
Exactly.
Rightfully so, because Hunter Lipke has been very good in pass pro. He's also shown plus ability when he goes out and as a pass catcher. He's shown ability as a short yardage guy. So I'm okay with that. The thing with Ezekiel Elliott this year is when they've used him in the role that they signed him to the team to fill that role, which is short yardage, meaning like 1 or 2 yards for the first down or like in the red zone, trying to get that downhill running style, he has been effective in that role. They have not used him in that role very often because they can't get to the red zone. They can't move the ball and get close enough for him to have that happen. And of course, this was a storyline this last week heading into this game, almost like completely generated by the media. Clarence Hill was tweeting earlier in the week about how Ezekiel Elliott hasn't really been used in the red zone, hasn't been used in short yarded situations. And then somebody asked him, like, have you talked to the coaching staff about it? He said, yeah, we've had conversations. And I tweeted at the time, I went and did the research coming into this game. Only 7 teams have fewer red zone appearances than the Cowboys so far. Their average distance to go on third down is 7.3 yards. So in terms of finding the right situation to use Zeke and give him those carries, like, they're not getting to the red zone. They're not getting in third and short situations. And if that's what you want Zeke to be, there's they're not going to use him when you don't have those situations.
Exactly. But the last thing that I want to see as a fan is a 1st and 10 run to Ezekiel Elliott. Like, that's just not what I want to see.
But look, Zeke complained. Whether or not it was him that was complaining or if it was the media just making a big deal out of it, there was a story. It was a narrative this week, and Zeke got a good workload in this game. And it's Chris, we were talking before. It's definitely not a coincidence that his usage went up in this game by a large number. Against the Lions, he played on. Let me find the number. He played on 41% of the offensive snaps.
Yeah.
For the last 3 weeks before this game, he was averaging just about 22% of the snaps, so almost doubled there. And he had 8 carries in the game. He was averaging about 4 in the last 3 weeks. Whereas Rico Dowdle, I mean, he's coming off the best game of his career. He had 28% of the offensive snaps, barely touched the ball. He's hit 40% or more in snaps every game this year until this one. And then suddenly there's this big story about, oh, Zeke's upset with his role. Suddenly his usage doubles, Dowdle's gets cut in half. Guess what? Dowdle still led the team in rushing yards.
that's the problem. And that's the run game has been an issue all year anyways. I mean, let's be honest here. Like, I'm not saying Dalvin Cook is going to be the fix that, you know, changes the narrative for this running game for the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, he's the one running back that we know what he's done in his past. And, like, why at this point, why don't we kick the tires on him, get him on the field, and let's see what he's got. If he doesn't have any juice, then he doesn't have any juice. But we won't know until we see. The issue I have is you're not going to sit Rico or Zeke out, you know, on that game. So they're going to have to go heavy at the running back position because Hunter Lipke is getting plenty of run. Like, Hunter Lipke is –
Zeke Elliott shouldn't be on the active roster, in my opinion. Like, that's how little of an impact he's having for the team. And I'm willing to just say that just straight up. I mean, if you're choosing between Hunter Lipke and Ezekiel Elliott, I'm choosing Hunter Lipke any day of the week because he's a better blocker and he's even more explosive than Ezekiel Elliott is. I know he's a fullback, but he looks like he
contributes on special teams.
Exactly, and he contributes on special teams. I don't see a reason why Ezekiel Elliott should even be active on this roster, and the only reason why they brought him in, I think, was to strike an emotional chord with the fan base, and I think that that's the only reason why he's even still on the team. I think if you got this kind of production on any other team, I don't think he'd still be on the roster at this point. I think that he's just here because of his past and his history with the Cowboys. And I think that that's something that Jerry Jones kind of struggles with in recent memories. He kind of puts his emotion towards players. And I think that he kind of, you know, I think he kind of puts that ahead of what the stats are showing and the eye test is showing on the field. Because, I mean, there's no way that you can justify Ezekiel Elliott really getting any playing time with the way he's playing, in my opinion. And that's no hate on him as a player in terms of his career with the Cowboys. He was amazing with the Cowboys, but you know, as
he doesn't have the juice anymore.
You just lose it. Yeah, exactly. It's a very common thing at the running back position. We see it all over the league. It's not just an Ezekiel Elliott thing, but the problem
is why people like me always say you shouldn't spend big dollars on the running back position.
Don't spend big dollars on a running back position, but how about you draft a youthful one really high in the draft? And then
I wanted Jalen Wright in the third. I wanted Trey Benson in the third.
I wanted Braylon Allen in the first round.
You wanted who?
Braylon Allen.
Oh, yeah. Chris, I would love Braylon Allen.
Chris, who did you want?
Oh, I'm saying that this upcoming draft, you know, I want Jenty out of the draft in the first round. That's how much I want to see him in this game.
Why would you get Ashton Jeanty in the first round when you can get Arizona State legend Cameron Scadaboo in the third round, who, by the way, has – Brandon, you're shaking your head. Who has the most forced tackles, most missed tackles forced in the country in college football right now? It's not Ashton Jeanty.
Light
Scadaboo. Cam Scadaboo.
Like one ranked team.
It's light, Cam light Scadaboo. By the way, with all the negative vibes, because – this is, I mean, if you haven't guessed by now in this episode, this is a group therapy session for all Cowboys fans. But real quick to bring up the mood a little bit, raise your hand if your college football team is 5-1. All three of us get to raise our hand.
Well, yeah. I didn't actually know off the top of my head the wins. I just know that Clemson had only lost one.
Yeah.
No,
we're all having a good year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, we got a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback. What do you want?
I can bet you anything that he will not be a finalist when it comes to the
should
actual.
Be. You should look at his stats. He's balling.
His stats are better than Kay Klubnik's.
He's better than Kay Klubnik any day of the week. Simple as that. Yeah, I mean, Ohio State, let's be honest. When you watch that game, I mean, not to get too far on the tangent, but you know, Kyle McCord wouldn't have done what's his name? Will Howard did for Ohio State and slide like Dak did. Like, come on. Like, use your head. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
all three of our college teams are doing great. And I think that's the important thing to remember, because the Cowboys are not doing well.
No. Awful.
Here's my thing on the running game, though. When we're talking about the running game hasn't been working, and I've been consistent in saying this all year, is there's not – I don't think there's a problem with the run game. It's just that three of these six games that they've played, they haven't been in a situation to run the ball. I mean, three games that they've played, all of them at home, and all of them they've gotten in a hole right out the gate. And then, you know, you're hardly running it from there on out.
I mean, maybe you shouldn't elect to receive the ball when you win the coin toss. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, I don't get that's a new shift, because the Cowboys for a while under McCarthy have done the honorable thing, the correct thing in football, which is you defer.
I don't care how good your offense is. I don't care how bad your defense is. I don't care what it is. It always makes sense to defer every single time.
Yes. I don't get why they switched.
They've
it
done up. It what three or four times this season, and they haven't scored a touchdown on any of the drives.
Not a it's single been a one.
At best. Every
time. I don't get it. I don't like that decision. But either way, they're getting themselves in a hole, and then you don't run the ball. So of course you're not going to have great rushing statistics. But they had a normal game against the Giants. They had a normal game against the Steelers. Just as far as, I mean, they were running their regular offense in both of those games. The running game was solid in both of those. I mean, it's not like they were, you know, piling up 200 rushing yards, but that's not how Mike McCarthy offenses operate. They're always pass heavy. But when they've run their normal offense, I mean, they were solid against the Giants with big Dexter Lawrence clogging up the middle. They were, I think, straight up good against the Steelers, which was a shock because the Steelers have a great run defense, but Rico Dowdle had the best game of his career. I mean, when they're playing a normal game, the run game actually looks pretty good, but specifically when Rico Dowdle is your top guy getting the majority of the carries, I don't know why they switched. I know why they switched up in this game and gave Zeke a heavy workload. But I mean, it was already obvious, at least to me, going into this one, that Dowdle's your number one. Zeke, you use when it's the right situation. Lipke, you use when it's the right situation. After this, though, it's like, you know, there's no question. There's no argument that Zeke should be getting more carries than he was getting before this game.
Yeah, I mean, Lipke was – I mean, if you look at the percentages, too, I mean, snap count-wise, Lipke was on the field more than Rico. Like, that's
yeah. –
I mean, Hunter Lipke, he's one of those guys. He has so much versatility. He does the things you need a player to do. And I'm happy for him. I think he's done a great job. But I do think, you know, this running game is just, you know, we can't go back in time and draft a running back in this past draft. But we, you know, they might want to start looking at 2025 and do something, because there's not an elite running back on this roster. This roster has, you know, some guys that can, you know, fill some roles. And like, you know, Rico Dowdle, to me, no disrespect, he's not an NFL starting running back, in my opinion. He's a good, solid complimentary back. Like, he's a good 1B in a committee, but we don't have a dog back there, you know, in the running game. I mean, they could have, you know, the Cowboys could have taken shots at Aaron Jones, maybe. They could have, you know, maybe I know Derrick Henry. I know it's not a scheme thing, but you can always scheme with your talent, with the players.
You can always scheme for elite players. I don't think that your scheme should be, or like, I don't think that when bringing in players, I don't think you should just focus on scheme. I think that you should scheme around good players.
You need to the whole thing. I like the whole thing with Derrick Henry, like his style with the Mike McCarthy offense is, you know, it's a weird fit. It's like square peg, round hole. But when you have a guy that's super talented like that, you make it work, you figure it out. And like, you know, I'm not saying, you know, yeah, you know, I'm not saying that Derrick Henry, you know, is, you know, I don't know if he would have fixed the problems. We don't know, because this offensive line hasn't been great either. So we really don't know 100%, because.
Well, I think Henry wasn't so much scheme as it was like Derrick Henry needs to have 20, 25 carries a game. Like, he's not a guy where like he's going to be effective for you in, you know, 10, 15 carries a game. He needs to be the bell cow. He needs to be in a run first offense, which he's got in Baltimore. Also helps that, you know, defenses can't really key on him because Lamar Jackson's going to pull the ball and do what Lamar Jackson does.
Exactly.
But
why they're the best offense.
Right now. To me, the biggest thing with all the Derrick Henry talk, and like Jerry Jones said, oh, we couldn't afford him. That's obviously BS.
That's
we know the money he's making. We know the money that they could afford. I think what nobody wants to admit there is just that Derrick Henry has the same agent as Dak Prescott. And at the time Henry was a free agent, they were having their negotiations with Dak Prescott. And by having their negotiations, I mean they were not talking. And Dak Prescott's agent was – who's also Derrick Henry's agent, I'm sure, was of the mindset of, don't come to me unless you give my quarterback what he deserves. And they were not ready to do that. And as we know, they took several months to get to that point.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I mean, Derrick Henry even said, you know, they didn't even call. I think that's the reason they didn't call is because they weren't on speaking terms with his agent because they had already lowballed him several times on the MVP runner-up from a year ago, trying to get a deal. And then obviously we know they didn't get any sort of deal. They still paid him top market money. But I think that's the biggest thing, and really just goes back to the fundamental problem for this team is just that the two guys making the decisions they're not making decisions for winning football games. They're making decisions based on money, based on what's going to bring in eyeballs, what's going to bring in attention. That's, Chris, you said, why they brought Ezekiel Elliott back for the sentiment.
That's exactly what it is.
Get a fan favorite back. Hey, now more people need to buy his jersey because he wears 15 instead of 21. it wasn't a football move.
Exactly. And my thing is this, though, is if there's anything – I mean, if there's any silver lining to this problem that's happening in Dallas right now is that, I mean, it's definitely going to hurt fan interest. I mean, it's definitely going to make fans less inclined to watch games. I mean, I run my Instagram account and the comment section on every post, it doesn't even matter if it's about us losing, if it's about, you know, an injury thing or whatever. It's all like, oh, I'm just looking ahead to next season anyway. Oh, the season's done. It doesn't matter anymore. And, you know, I haven't been there, but I've heard that. It's been a lot of away teams fans in pretty much every game this season in AT&T Stadium because I just think fans are just like I feel like they're losing interest in this season, and it kind of I feel like there was a lot of skepticism entering the season too. I mean, it didn't really feel like this was a season, you know, heading into it where it had real Super Bowl contention. At least in my opinion, I never viewed the team as a Super Bowl contender. And I think that fans maybe got reeled back in after that Browns win, because at the time, you know, the Browns were coming off of a playoff appearance. And, you know, I felt like, oh, wow, this defense is really good. But now we've seen that was really just the Browns not being good, not the defense being good. And granted, you know, I mean, at the time they had Micah, they had DeMarcus Lawrence. So, I mean, it was a different defensive line that they're playing against. But, yeah, I mean – I just feel like the way that this season's going, it's been kind of apparent that the Cowboys can beat a team like the Giants and the Steelers and, you know, and the Browns, but they can't compete against a Ravens or a Lions. And I mean,
well, like, hey, Chris, speaking of the Lions, obviously they lost their star player, Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And less than 24 hours later, they're already scouring the market to find a player. I mean, they're not going to find a player at his level, at his caliber, and not have to give up multiple first-round picks kind of a thing. But that's the winning mindset. Okay, we lost our superstar pass rusher. What can we do to fix this team to maybe not replace that production, but bring somebody in that's quality that can help keep the defense on track? And that's the problem with the Cowboys. You have all these injuries. We're just bringing guys in like a Carl Lawson, like off the street. What's his name? KJ Henry. I know he's a Clemson guy, so I know you're a fan, Chris. But it's like those guys aren't going to have the production. It is what it is. I just feel like the Cowboys have these areas where they need to make moves, and I feel like they value a fifth round pick or a fourth round pick more than trying to make things happen, you know, on the team this year. So it's very frustrating as a fan because you see other organizations, guys get hurt, and they're already making moves to maybe not replace that player, but at least upgrade their roster from where they're at now with the injury. So I just, watching the Lions operate, we'll see what happens, what they do, because, you know, maybe they don't find something that works, but at least they're making the concerted effort to improve their team given the circumstances. I wish the Cowboys would be more apt to do that. And the whole cap space thing, like, we already saw it with the whole Davante Adams talk. I mean, ESPN First Take put on a graphic a couple weeks ago. The Cowboys have one of the highest cap spaces available right now. So that if they want to, if they're really thinking they can make a run at it and like there's a guy out there, go make a move, get it done.
My thing is I don't see any point in trading a first, second, or even third round pick for an older guy to try and win now. Cause I mean, I think this team is really a lot away from just one guy, especially, you know, giving high draft capital like that. I think that
That's why I was fourth or fifth.
But like, I know that people were trying to put the whole, you know, Davante Adams thing to the Cowboys. Davante Adams is probably going to get moved for, if he gets moved, he's going to get moved for a second round pick. And the Cowboys need that second round pick because if the team wants to, you know, keep bringing in talent, they are going to be cap strapped heading forward after this season because of a Micah Parsons extension. Because if they want to sign Deron Bland an extension, a Jake Ferguson extension, Tyler Smith extension, you know, they still have key players who they are going to have to make tough decisions on. And when you have those players, you have to hit on your draft picks. The problem is the Cowboys haven't been hitting on their second round picks, it feels like, in a long time. But with that said,
I'll trade a second round pick for anybody.
My thing is, if the Cowboys are to trade draft capital, I think it should be for a player who still has, you know, years ahead of him. I don't think it should be necessarily, you know, for someone who is just a win now situation, which is why I think, you know, I think even though Amari Cooper's old, I think Amari Cooper kind of makes sense because I don't think that they're going to require a lot for Amari Cooper. I think that the Browns could maybe at this point even consider just, doing the exact same trade, just the opposite way, doing a fifth for Amari Cooper. And I mean, I would consider doing that because it's not going to hurt I'm not that worried about a fifth round pick, especially if it can help the team right now. But I mean, it's just going to be difficult because I think the Cowboys are so much more than just one player away, which they could bring in the trade market. I think that there's a lot of moves that need to be made, and that is something that will have to take place over an entire offseason. And a lot of those moves just involve players being healthy, because if they had healthy players, their roster would look completely different. So
I totally agree with that. And I mean, it's really hard to come down too hard on this defense after that game, because the Lions have such a great offense. So many weapons, great play caller in Ben Johnson. And I mean, this defense is like, half of them are backups.
It's a B team, essentially. It's like a JV team.
You've got no Micah Parsons, no DeMarcus Lawrence. Your backups were Sam Williams and Marshawn Nealon. They're both gone.
They're both hurt.
Deron Bland can't play. Kalen Carson can't. Like, the backup's backup is not even playing. Exactly.
A majority of these defensive linemen are practice squad players or players who are never expected to see the field. And, like, this is what I was going to say. If we're doing a stock down, stock up, I didn't think that we were. But I was going to come in and say my stock down actually isn't even anyone on the defense because they already are stock downs. I wouldn't buy – I wouldn't invest in any of these stocks. A stock down for me, and I'm not saying that he's the reason they lost this game, and I'm not, because I know that there's so much out of his control, but a stock down for me is Dak Prescott. And it's not because he single-handedly lost in the game, but again, like, nothing went well offensively. And this is a game where, you know, if you're getting paid the amount of money that he's making, and I'm not saying that he hasn't earned his contract, I'm not saying those kind of things, but, you know, when you're making $60 million a year, you're expected to kind of overcome these issues having around you. And I know he can't control what the defense is doing. I know he has no control over that, but at least he could, you know, score one touchdown in the game.
Red zone turnovers, man.
It's a red zone turnover. And I know that we were kind of bantering about whose fault that really was. But I mean, like, regardless, it's been 2 weeks now where he's really put the team in a bad position, you know, early in the game. And my thing is like, that's a game where Dak Prescott needed to be a hero for the Cowboys to even have a chance in the game. And he not only wasn't a hero, he didn't even play he didn't even have an average game. He played poorly in that game. And I understand the pressure wasn't
Here's my issue with
protection wasn't great. I understand the game can get developed. But I mean,
I'll agree with you. This was an average game for him. He has had way better games than this. But again, everything else around him fell apart.
I understand that, but you know, I mean, like, when things fall apart around a Joe Burrow, a Patrick Mahomes, a Josh Allen, when things fall apart around them, they have the tendency to kind of elevate the players around them. And I know that Josh Allen throws interceptions. I know
Josh Allen is the most turnover-prone guy in the league.
I understand he's the most turnover-prone guy.
The Bengals are terrible. They just won their second game of the year.
He still scores touchdowns when they need to. And, you know, he's been to an AFC championship, and he's done things that Dak Prescott hasn't done. So,
yeah,
with worse rosters around him, in my opinion.
Historically, he's done it with great defense. He did it with Stephon Diggs. He did it with Brian Daboll, who won Coach of the Year his very first year with Daniel freaking Jones at quarterback. Like, he's had a lot of great talent around him. And again, we're talking about this in the context of saying, oh, he can't do what Josh Allen does. He can't do what Patrick Mahomes does. Like, those are probably the two best quarterbacks in the league. So you're like, there's 32 starters, and you're saying he's part of the 30 that can't do what these two freaks do. Which, by the way, I think Josh Allen, I think that's a bad example, because he turns it over. He loves to turn the ball over. But in this game particularly, so this is the thing that blows my mind about the way this game unfolded, is the Cowboys offensive line came into this game. They were number two in pressure rate allowed, meaning only one other team was giving up fewer pressures per game than the Cowboys offensive line. The Lions came into this game, their defense was 28th in pressure rate. So, like, pretty much all of their pressures came from Aiden Hutchinson. Outside of him, they couldn't even get to the quarterback. They couldn't even breathe on him, let alone touch him. This was just a bad pass rush against a offensive line that is great at preventing pressure. Dak Prescott got pressured on 47.4% of his dropbacks. That is the second highest in a game that he's had the entire Mike McCarthy era. Like, this was a colossally terrible game from the offensive line and pass pro. And it wasn't just because Tyler Smith was playing left tackle or TJ Bass got put in as the starter at left guard. Zach Martin was the worst one on the team. He had a 0.0 pass block grade from Pro Football Focus. He gave up 7 pressures in this game. For context, he had given up 8 pressures all year long. Like, he almost matched that in one game. Like,
Terrence Steele wasn't great either.
What's that?
Terrence Steele wasn't great either.
Nobody was great. The whole offensive line just completely fell apart.
I get they're paying Terrence Steele all this money. He's going to be under contract, what, to like 2028, 2029, whatever the case may be. I know it's a few years out. But maybe you slide Tyler Guyton over back to right tackle at this stage and just see what he's got. Because Terrence Steele, to me, is a turnstile. It doesn't matter who's pass rushing him. Like, even Aiden Hutchinson's backup was getting in the backfield. Like, that's my issue with Terrence Steele. Like,
they were doing that against everybody in this game. It was Terrence Steele, it was Zach Martin, it was Cooper Beebe, it was TJ Bass.
Zach Martin had his worst game.
Zach Martin, no, I agree.
Zach Martin was probably one of
his worst games of his career. I will put that out there. But everybody piles on Terrence Steele, and that's for good reason. Terrence Steele is not a good pass blocker. He just isn't. Like, the problem is, like, they should – like, in this case, you got Tyler Smith at left tackle. You bring TJ Bass in at left guard. So then Tyler Smith's essentially the odd man out at this point. Like, Terrence Steele, he's a turnstile. I get you're paying him a ton of money at this point, which that was a bad contract to begin with, because he's just not – he's not worth what they're paying him. I think his average per year is, like, 16, 17 million a year, which for a guy who's a turnstile as a pass rusher or a pass blocker is not great. Like, I would like to see what Tyler Guyton's got over there, and maybe you have the two Tylers as your two tackles at that point and go from there. It's just, you know, Terrence Steele, to me, I think he's the weak link on that offensive line. Granted, it wasn't a great performance as a whole. I just think Terrence Steele is the weakest link on that offensive line right now.
So here's the question I want to ask you guys, because right now we're talking about a whole lot of things, how this roster is just not great, right? Like, the offensive line is not, you know, you've got two rookies. I mean, Tyler Guyton didn't start this game, but I mean, TJ Bass, this was like his third or fourth career start. He was a rookie last year. The receivers have been up and down. CeeDee Lamb, this was another game where, like, it looked like he checked out pretty early in this game. You know, he was not really playing the way that he has when he's on fire. And outside of that, I mean, Jalen Tolbert had another great game. I will plant my flag on Jalen Tolbert being really, really good. But outside of that, Jake Ferguson didn't make a whole lot of noise. Kevontae Turpin, I mean, he fumbled late in the game. Ryan Flournoy, we were giving Brandon plenty of grief in the Slack during the game, but Ryan Flournoy had his first target, first catch. He fumbled the ball.
Bad technique on Ryan Flournoy's part. Like that, just to hit that real quick. That's a technique thing. He held the ball on his outside arm. Like, you know, textbook is you hold the ball to the sideline. Like that's coaching all the way up, you know, from the ranks. So Ryan Flournoy made a mistake there, but I don't think this is the end of Ryan Flournoy's tenure as a Cowboy, obviously. But the whole team, especially on offense as a whole, just played junk. It was just garbage all the way around.
It was bad. Like there was outside of Jalen Tolbert, like nobody in the pass game like was really making big moves. Like CeeDee Lamb had a few good plays here and there. He had some drops. He had some plays. He got his jump ball on that opening drive. They threw that jump ball in the end zone. He couldn't come down with it. He like didn't even really compete at the catch point for it.
It wasn't even close though. It was underthrown.
No, not the interception. On the opening drive, they took a shot and it was the corner of the end zone. He didn't even he like tried to catch it in stride. It was a jump ball, and he didn't go up for it like he would a jump ball. And then you know we're talking about the running backs and how we're not satisfied with the running backs. My question is, like, it seems like we all agree at least on some level that Jerry and Steven have not done a good job of building this roster to compete this year. With that being said, how hot is Mike McCarthy's seat? How much blame do you lay at Mike McCarthy's feet right now
for having hotter. A
roster that we all kind of agree is not built to contend? How much of this is his fault?
Here's the thing. This specifically may not – it's them being bad this year, actually, I feel bad. I somewhat feel bad for Mike McCarthy because if there was any year to give him any slack, this would be the year. But the problem is that it's not like he did anything the last 2-3 seasons productive in the playoffs. I know he just came off of 3 straight 12-5 seasons, but the Cowboys fans aren't excited about that unless it brings playoff success. And he has had no playoff success. And he had arguably, I think, a top 5, maybe top 3 roster in the NFL over the course of those 3 seasons. And, you know, they just kept dropping the ball in the playoffs. I think his seat should be blazing hot, and it's not even as much about just this season. It's an accumulation of playoff failure as well as failure this season. And I think if you really do want fans to buy back in, then I think firing Mike McCarthy would be a great head start, because I think that's what the majority of the fan base wants right now, which I have no doubt that it's not going to happen this like in the season. I don't think he's getting fired this like in the season.
He's not getting fired at all. Like his contract's just gonna.
Brandon brings up a great point. He's not gonna get fired.
Jerry hasn't technically fired anyone since Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
It'll
be let Jason Garrett's contract expire. He's gonna let Mike McCarthy's contract expire if he can't perform in the playoffs. But here's my thing: is Chris? I think you're right in saying he's had a like top 5 roster the last few years that he's been here. But the issue is, there's only one team that ends the season with a win. So if you're two through five, it doesn't matter where you finish. And like during the Tom Brady Patriots era, right? It was like you're competing to lose to Tom Brady in the playoffs, whether it's in the AFC side or losing to him in the Super Bowl. And I feel like now with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, it's the same deal. Like, you know, we just talked about Josh Allen. He's had playoff success and he's reached the conference championship game. So is Joe Burrow. None of them went to the Super Bowl. You can't make it to the Super Bowl from the AFC. And then on the NFC side, like, you know, the 49ers have done it quite a few times and they can't win. The Eagles did it. They can't win. The Lions look like they're ready to compete for that and get to the Super Bowl. They're not going to win. They're not going to be able to beat the Chiefs. They beat them by 1 last year without Travis Kelce. Like, and the Chiefs have a better offense since then because they got Xavier Worthy, by the way.
Yeah, but Travis Kelce hasn't had that great of a year, though, to be honest.
What's that?
Travis Kelce really, he hasn't been Travis Kelce all year though. Like it's been a down year for him if you think about it.
Well, last year was a down year too. He's old. that's what happens.
Yeah, but easy now. I'm the same age as Kelce.
He's the elder statesman of the offense. But my point being, like the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, and it doesn't really like it, you can have a top five team, and if you're like I said, if you're 2 through 5, you know that's still you're still not going to get what you want. And my mindset is it worth it to blow all of that up?
Yes.
Of being 2 to 5 for a new coach just to maybe get past that, because
yes,
you know, I don't know who you bring in after Mike McCarthy that's actually going to take you over the hump. Chris, I know you want Bill Belichick. Like we can get Brandon into that on another episode.
Not just me.
Reality Brandon is the last time. You know what happened the last time that Bill Belichick won a playoff game?
What?
Micah Parsons was a true freshman in college the last time he won a playoff game.
Hey, you know what I'll say? I'll say that, you know, I think Ben Johnson put on a real good resume reel this past week as well for the Lions. So
yeah, and Ben Johnson is not going to come to Dallas. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, do you speak to Ben Johnson? Do you know him personally? Because I last time I checked, head coaching got jobs in the NFL don't come up.
You know who I think the Cowboys should hire a head coach? Urban Meyer. No, I'm kidding. That one.
If you want toxic, that's yeah.
Yeah. No. Chris isn't allowed back on the show after this one.
No. But I actually was, I'm not going to lie, take that aged poorly. My top two favorites to be the head coach of the Cowboys when they were looking for a head coach, I really wanted either Lincoln Riley or Urban Meyer. and I would have rather had Urban than Mike McCarthy at the time, actually. But I'm glad I was wrong.
Speaking of takes and who we wanted, when the Cowboys had their last head coaching vacancy, the guy that I wanted, and I wrote several articles at the time that you can go out and find, they're still there, was Dan Campbell. Yeah. I really, really wanted Dan Campbell to be the head coach. And
I think
he's built a pretty darn good team in Detroit.
You know who I think the next head coach of the Cowboys is going to be? Well, actually, maybe not the next, but I think soon. It's not going to be Deion. But I think that someone we're completely sleeping on, it would be such a Jerry move, would be Jason Witten. I think that that's something that sounds crazy. I don't think he'll necessarily start there, but I think that Jason Witten could be on the coaching staff like in the future, because he's having a really good career right now as a head coach in high school right now, and he's doing really well.
He's got to work his way up the ranks.
I know. I agree that he's got to work
his way up. Coach America's team.
I agree that he should work his way up. But, I mean, bringing back Ezekiel Elliott after he just averaged.
Hey, you know what? Let's bring in Luke Kuechly. I know he's coaching youth football right now. Why don't we bring him in?
Hey, listen.
Hey, Josh McCown.
Hey, listen. I know you guys are making fun of me, but listen, I could see it. And it wouldn't shock me if the Cowboys made Jason Witten their head coach at some point.
Hey, you know what? I'll add one little piece just to give a little bit of a. I'm gonna bust Chris Chops a little bit. I definitely don't want Dabo Sweeney. I can say that.
Well, I mean, Dabo is not a football. Or I wouldn't say he's an NFL head coach.
He hates paying players.
I'm about to say he hates paying players. He doesn't want to use the transfer portal. He believes in his guys. I'm telling you, if you want to talk about guys, or I mean. The whole liking your guys concept, Dabo Sweeney is that equivalent in college. Fortunately, they're still winning games, but he is not willing to adapt to the way college is trending at all. Yeah. So, I mean, fortunately, he's a good recruiter, and I mean, it's okay for the most part. But and you know, Clemson has just established themselves as a big program. But yeah, in terms of
adjusting, give me a defensive coach next year.
You know,
what about the Lions defensive coordinator?
It's funny you say that, because I was going to say. I'm not on the fire McCarthy train,
let his contract run out.
I'm not on that train either, because I don't see what you do that McCarthy hasn't already done that gets this team over the hump. But I will say, if they
maybe
do make
you
a move,
build towards the future, you
if
try
they
something.
Do make a change. The guy that I want, and after this we're gonna get into our predictions and end on a high note, because we all had a good week here. But I'm just throwing this out here now. Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores. He's got that defense humming. He has specifically done it. He has locked down Kyle Shanahan 3 years in a row as the Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator.
They'll never do that.
And, of course, Chris, to your point about like Belichick and the Patriot way and the discipline, he comes from that style. He can instill that kind of discipline. But also the last couple of years he's been in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, comes from the Shanahan tree. He's got lots of connections to a bunch of really good offensive coaches. And, you know, the big thing with Brian Flores becoming a head coach again is going to be who's your offensive coordinator. He's probably bringing in a Shanahan guy. He's got the connection now. So you get that Brian Flores defense, you get a Shanahan-style offense. I'd sign up for that if they're making a move. I'd sign up for that.
I think something I would sign up for is going in the division. It's not Nick Sirianni. I'm not gonna freak you guys out with that. It's not Brian Daboll. Bring back Dan Quinn back to Dallas. Dan Quinn back to Dallas. He would leave Washington in a heartbeat to rejoin Micah, his boy.
I don't think so.
I would take Aaron Glenn over Quinn at this point.
Hey, I mean, you know,
Aaron Glenn, I watched him play. I'm old enough being the other statesman. I actually watched Aaron Glenn play live football. And he was a good football player back in the day, and he's a hell of a coach. So, and I think he's going to be on the top. I bet he's top five right now on coaching candidates going into next year. If I had to pick,
I just had to Google and see if Aaron Glenn had any ties to Syracuse, because I had to assume that there was something there. But no,
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate Aaron
Glenn. I wouldn't hate that at all. I like it.
I want McCarthy to be the coach next year. If it's not him, I want Brian Flores. But I wouldn't hate Aaron Glenn. Moving on, though, to our record predictions. Because
hey, look who's tied down.
We got a new leader in the house. I'm still holding up the rear. My record has improved to 42-32. Chris, you're now dropped down to second. You're 45-29. You took some swings this week.
It's not a – yeah. I mean, I got a little bold with my lead, and, you know, it came back to bite me. But, you know, it's not a – you know, I mean, this isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. So there's always time to catch back up. And I think that we should even pick throughout the playoffs, too. I think this should be a full up until the Super Bowl.
By one game, you're in front with 46-28. I'll say, Brandon, we all had good weeks. Chris and I were 11-3 this week.
Wow. So that just means Brandon had a killer week.
Brandon was 13-1.
And the one game was
the
what?
Cowboys.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was definitely a good week at my house because those parlays were looking real nice this past weekend. So.
My parlays were not looking good. I had one parlay and none of them hit. Not a single leg.
Well, of course, there's one other game that's still left to play. We record these Monday night. The Bills and Jets game is going on. Brandon,
was there a difference in our picks?
Brandon and I took the Bills. You took the Jets.
Ooh, I could catch Brandon after tonight.
You could catch Brandon. And of course, now's a good time to announce also with the Cowboys going into the bye week, and hopefully they're going to be doing some tweaking of the way that they do things to come out better and stronger. We're going to tweak our own show going into this bye week. Starting next week, we'll be coming out Wednesday mornings instead of Tuesday mornings. So that way we actually know who got each Monday Night Football pick right, among other things. So look out for us next Wednesday instead of next Tuesday when we come back with the records from the predictions we're about to make, starting with Thursday Night Football with Bo Nix and the Broncos taking on Spencer Rattler and the Saints. Sean Payton returning to New Orleans. Where are you guys going?
You go first, Brandon.
Where do you even start? Two terrible rookie quarterbacks, like neither team is good. It's in New Orleans.
I'm taking the Saints because they have better supporting pieces.
Yeah, I'll go with the Saints as well. You know, I saw some flashes from Rattler that I liked. I wasn't high on him coming out of college, but I did see some flashes that I did like from him. I do like him a little bit more than I do Bo Nix, but the tipping the scales for me is they're playing in New Orleans, so I'm going to have to go with the Saints.
Yeah, New Orleans is a tough place to play. It being a short week, Thursday night, I'll take the Saints. I don't feel great about it because neither of these teams are really playing at full strength right now.
We had played the Saints like this past week and not week two.
Yeah, the Saints have not won a game since they whooped our butts.
After they won their Super Bowl, you know.
They won their Super Bowl and they called out for the year.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got the next London game. which, by the way, this is a terrible, terrible game for all the people in London. I'm sorry that the NFL did this
to you. It seems to be that way very often.
Patriots and the Jaguars.
Mm.
I think both of them only have one win right now.
See, I want to be a homer because I'm a big, you know, Clemson guy, and I want to pick Trevor, but I'm going to pick Drake May. I think Drake May is going to get the edge over him. I think that, you know, I think he showed flashes actually in his debut. I'm going to go with the Pats on this one. And I think that Mayo is a better head coach right now than Doug Peterson. I think he's lost his locker room.
I think if the Jaguars lose this game, Doug Peterson comes home on a different plane than the rest of the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't know how you keep him through that.
I'm just going to say that, you know, former Syracuse legend Andre Sisco, Jacksonville Jaguars safety, he called out his team. I think they're going to rally around the legendary Syracuse Orange football great. And I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to pull out the victory against a lowly New England Patriots squad with a quarterback who I think is going to be a bust, Drake May.
I'll break the tie and I'm taking the Jaguars just because I think, you know, that Doug Peterson is a good coach. I think I agree that he's kind of lost some of his luster, but he's going to figure out a way to do it, especially against this Patriots team, which, I mean, they've shown some fight, but they just don't have the talent right now. And Drake May, I think, I'm not as hard on him as Brandon, but it's the second game and he's playing across the pond. It's tough. It's tough sledding for him, but I'm taking the Jaguars. Next up, we've got the Seahawks and the Falcons. I'll go first. I think I'm starting to believe in these Falcons. Things have started to come together. I'm taking the Falcons here. Seahawks are kind of a team right now that they're going to be able to put up a fight, but I'm not sure that they have all the talent there to really consistently win these types of games. So I'm going Atlanta.
I'm going to go Atlanta as well.
Yeah, I'll take that better team.
Just copying me, trying to keep me in last place, I see. Next up, we've got the Tennessee Titans, who got their second win of the season this last week. They didn't, actually. They blew it. That's my bad. They blew it against the Colts. They were leading by several scores and found a way to blow it, and they're now playing the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen, who never turns it over.
Never.
I'm going to go with the Bills on this one. I don't need to hear too much about it. I'm not impressed with Will Levis, Mayo Man. I'm a banana eater with the peel on, and he likes them brown. I'm not a fan of his game. I'm not a fan of his choices in life.
Yeah.
I think the best choice in life for the Titans would be to bench him. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to roll with the Western New York Buffalo Williams. We'll go with them. Mayo Man is who he is. I mean, the Titans aren't great. Josh Allen's probably going to turn the ball over, but he's going to be Superman. He's going to win the game.
I don't think I've ever heard Buffalo Williams before, but I love it, and I'm never going to call them anything other than that. I'm also going with the Buffalo Williams. I mean, you guys said it. Titans are not good right now. They're counting down the days till Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers or someone else is quarterbacking for them.
Yeah.
Speaking of teams that desperately want a different starting quarterback, next up we've got the Cleveland Browns hosting the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's crazy. Now,
Chris, you and I just took the Browns.
Wanting a different quarterback. Oh, okay. Just the Browns. I thought you were referring to both teams wanting.
No. Just the Browns.
Okay, just the Browns. I was like, wow, that's some crazy Joe Burrow slander. But
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm
we both took the Browns to beat the Eagles this past week. And in fairness, we were very, very close.
Yeah.
The Eagles were trying very hard to make us right.
Exactly. I'm going to go with the Bengals on this one. Don't see a world where Deshaun Watson beats Joe Burrow right now. Maybe if he was in his Texans form, then maybe, but not now. I think he's just so mentally messed up with all his allegations and stuff. I don't see him ever being the same player. I think it's wrecked his confidence. And, you know, I still think his physical tangibles are still there, but I just think he's just not making right decisions. He's just all in his head.
Yeah. You said you can't imagine a world where Deshaun Watson beats Joe Burrow. I don't want to live in a world where Deshaun Watson beats Joe Burrow. I think Bengals are winning this. We're all Bengals, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Next up is the Houston Texans traveling up to Lambeau to take on the Green Bay Packers.
This is a pretty good game.
I've been consistent, guys. I don't think the Texans are legit this year. I think I took them last week to beat the Patriots, and obviously that was the smart move. But they've every single game that they've won, aside from this last game against the Patriots, it's been like a one-score game. They've come very, very close to blowing it each time. Green Bay is kind of catching fire right now. They're tough to beat in Lambeau. I'm taking the Packers to win this one.
I'm taking the Packers as well for all the reasons you listed. I think that the Packers are tough to beat at home, and that just feels like a game that Jordan Love's going to have a big performance in.
Yeah. Just like Chris said, I was just going to say Jordan Love. I mean, he's getting on track. I think he's doing a good job, and I still believe in the Texans, but I do think this week, I do think the Packers are going to take care of business.
Clearly, you don't believe in them enough.
not this week, no.
But next up, we've got the Miami Dolphins, still without Tua Tagovailoa, taking on the Indianapolis Colts, who may get Anthony Richardson back, but I don't even think Colts fans want him back because Joe Flacco has been so good this year.
Yeah, about to say, even if – I mean, it doesn't matter who the Colts have at their quarterback. They have a better quarterback than Miami does right now. I'm going to go with the Colts. Sorry to cut you off. If you
you're good.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm going with the Colts too. Brandon, you want to take Tyler Huntley and the Dolphins? You love Snoop?
No, I like Snoop. Snoop Huntley's good. He's a fun and interesting player to watch. But I just think right now, it sounds like A. Rich is going to play this week. So regardless, Flacco, A. Rich, the quarterback situation's better. I'm going to hammer on the Colts.
Yeah. Next up, we've got what I think is – it's not actually America's game of the week, but it's what I think should be the game of the week. It's the Detroit Lions fresh off the, you know, pounding of the Cowboys against the undefeated Minnesota Vikings with future Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Flores running the defense. This should be a really good game. It's going to be – I mean, winner of this will have first place in – and the Vikings already have first place in the division, but winner will have first place just by virtue of a division victory. It's in Minnesota. I know where I'm going, but what are you guys thinking?
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, man. Aaron Jones is still out, isn't he? Or is he going to be healthy?
I think he's supposed to play.
He's playing?
I don't know for sure. As a note for our listeners, last week in the Saints-Buccaneers game, Chris and I both picked the Saints. And then, of course, afterwards it was announced that Derek Carr was ruled out for that game. I was gracious enough to allow us both to re-pick based on that information. So we picked the Buccaneers. Otherwise, we both would have had one less in our record. I think it's the right thing to do.
I agree. Aaron Jones isn't enough to where it would trigger a week. I just did some quick research, and it looks like Jones is going to be able to play. So I'm going to take the Vikings at home just because I think the Lions are going to be riding high off this win. You know, like they have just got their biggest revenge that they were so keen on getting. Obviously, they felt last season's loss to the Cowboys. They took it very personal with how much they kept trying to score with an offensive lineman. I think that they're super excited, and I think that the Vikings kind of humble them a little bit. Even though I think if they played in the playoffs, I would take the Lions. But I just think in this matchup, I'm taking the Vikings.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would have probably gone the Lions here if Aiden Hutchinson was available. Obviously, he's not going to be playing anytime soon. Obviously, wish him all the best as an NFL fan. We all you know, love the game of football, and we love seeing great players do great things, and it's sad to see what happened with him. So speedy recovery for him. But because of that, you know, the unfortunate injury, I got to go with the Vikings. I think Hutchinson, they're going to feel the impact of Hutchinson being out this week, and I think the Vikings, they're really good. And I think Brian Flores has drawn up. He's going to drop a good plan, and I think the Vikings are going to take care of business.
I do think Brian Flores will draw up a good plan, but I also think Aaron Glenn's going to draw up a good plan. Sam Darnold, the last couple of weeks, the magic has started to fade a little bit. And I mean, the Lions won't have Aiden Hutchinson, but they still got Brian Branch. They still got some other dudes on that defense. And this offense, even if you can contain them a little bit, I mean, the run game is still the run game. David Montgomery is still tough to bring down. Jahmyr Gibbs is tough to even catch up to. I think this is going to be a back and forth game. I'm really, really excited to watch it, but I am taking the Lions. I think they're just, they're more built for this moment right now. And I think that Dan Campbell is going to have these guys locked in. I don't think he's going to allow them to get ahead of themselves, get high on their own supply. I think they're going to come out and they'll be the ones that is just left standing at the very, very end. Next up, we've got the Eagles and the Giants. I know we all would wish for a tie just so that neither of them can taste the joys of victory.
Yeah, I would love to pick the Eagles. I mean, the Giants, but I can't. The Eagles are a much better team. Yeah. But the Eagles keep making these bad teams look somewhat good, so who knows? Yeah. Maybe we're in a world where they drop it, but I can't. You know, as a man trying to compete in this record, I got to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, Philly, hammer it down.
Yeah, I mean, I get why you guys would do that, but unlike Chris, I'm not a coward.
All right,
I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm taking the Giants to win this game. I'm going to zig. I love to zig.
And that's why you're zigging in the other direction. So that's why you're zigging in the back right now.
I think the Eagles have flirted with disaster enough times this year. I think the Giants have played well enough to beat a team like this. Not well, but well enough to beat a team like the Eagles right now. It's in New York or New Jersey. They don't actually play in New York, as we all know. But I think they're going to make Daniel Jones look real good. I think that they're going to make Jalen Hurts look bad, and they're going to pull out this game, and they're going to pull out this win, and it's going to be a really fun bye week in Dallas because we get to make fun of the Eagles. Next up, we've got the Rams and the Raiders. Not much going for either of these teams right now. Chris, you said Rams.
Yeah, I'm still taking the Rams.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams.
Throw the Rams on too. I'll take them.
It's not really an exciting game, but none of us can trust the fraud that is Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas, as we all know. Speaking of Arizona State and those who formerly walked the halls in Tempe, next up we've got the Washington Commanders and star Jaden Daniels taking on the Carolina Panthers. I mean, we're all taking the commies here, right?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, he's going to take care of some business against this lowly Panthers team. Yeah, Commanders are going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Next up, we do have the actual.
Hey, listen, I didn't get my pick yet. You already went ahead. You already went ahead. You assumed I'm taking the Commanders. Well, I'm not. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers. Keep pounding. Right.
Hey, you're locked in now. You're locked in.
I'm locked in. I am taking the Carolina Panthers in an upset over the Washington Commanders.
Okay.
All right. Well, we know who's not coming in first next week.
definitely not you two.
Yeah. Next up, we have the actual America's Game of the Week, Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers. I mean, we've all said, you know, we're not picking against the Chiefs until we see them actually lose.
But I'm not picking against the Chiefs any game this season. You like might as well.
Even the 49ers?
I'm not. If the Chiefs were playing the 1992 Cowboys, I'd consider maybe. But they're not. they are playing the 49ers without a Christian McCaffrey. Even if they had Christian McCaffrey, I wouldn't take the 49ers because the Chiefs are just winners and they win no matter what situation they're put in. So I'm taking the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs as well.
Yeah, we're all taking the Chiefs in this one. That's not a surprise. Next up, we've got the Jets, the Steelers.
Ew.
Two teams that don't ever look pretty, but
see, I would like to say on paper that the Jets should win this game. They really should. But their offense has not been humming, and the Steelers' defense is very it's very elite. They have a very good defense. And where is it? Is it in Pittsburgh or is it in New Jersey?
It's in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if the Giants are playing in New Jersey, then, yeah, they would have to. Yeah, I'm going to take a terrible towel, actually. I'm going to go with the Steelers. I think the Steelers are just one of those teams that, like, they'll probably squeak in the playoffs as, like, a wild card team just because I'm a believer in Mike Tomlin, and they have a great defense, but they're not going to do any damage in the playoffs. But I think that they're going to give that Jets offense some problems, and I think they'll do just enough offensively to win.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for the world where Aaron Rodgers loses in Pittsburgh and right after Mike McCarthy won in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're not in a spot to be dancing on anyone's graves right now, but that will be the one little bit of copium I get in this weekend if the Steelers pull it off. Which I'm predicting they will, by the way.
The Steelers are gonna win.
I was hopeful, Brandon, that you would go with the Jets so that I could get one different than you.
No,
hey, there might be some disagreement here though, because on this next one, because we got Ravens and Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have looked pretty good. It's in Tampa.
I'm taking the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens. I already said they're the best offense in the league. I'm not gonna come off of that, so I'm gonna go with the Ravens as well.
All right. Well, I'm taking the Bucs.
Fair enough.
I think Todd Bowles is going to come up with a game plan that flusters Lamar Jackson. They got big old Vita Vea in there to handle Derrick Henry. Baker Mayfield is going to – it's going to be time to bake, and it's going to be a good week for the Buccaneers. Good week for me and my prediction record as well.
He's going to be baking you another L in your predictions. That's what he's going to be.
Yep, third place.
Last but certainly not least, we've got – by the way, this week we've got another Monday Night Football doubleheader. Why, I don't know. But last game for week 7 to pick is the Chargers, the Cardinals. I think we're all taking the Chargers, right? We're not too worried about the Cardinals in this one?
I'm taking the Cardinals.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals. I'm not Cardinals, really going to the Chargers.
They might be without Marvin Harrison Jr., who left.
Okay, the game last week. I wasn't aware of that.
No. You're locked in. You're stuck.
Whatever. You know what? I don't care if they have him or if they don't have him. I'm taking the Cardinals.
Kyler Murray can do it.
Yeah, I think Kyler Murray can do it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cards as well.
Oh, my gosh. Brandon, I'm supposed to be catching up to you here. I can't do that if you keep picking the same games as me.
I'm just going to say this. I could see a Greg Dortch or a Michael Wilson having a good game on Monday night next week.
Ugh. Whatever. I can't catch up to him. This is all strategy for him. He's letting me pick.
Yeah. No, this is what I was going to say. Anyway. First,
he wouldn't have gone the Cardinals. Yeah. I thought I was going to be different there.
We're going to have to start going to a silent ballot or something.
Yeah.
These are the teams I'm picking.
I'm still going with the Chargers. I don't care that you both pick the Cardinals. This is going to be the easiest pickup for me in the records prediction because the Chargers are going to win this one. Cardinals aren't that good. Jim Harbaugh is the truth. He's going to power them to the win. And we're going to find out exactly how we all do in these records next Wednesday, not Tuesday. Remember, we're going to be coming out Wednesday next week after all the action on Tuesday and looking at what comes next for the Cowboys as they'll be in their bye. Obviously, they're not going to play this week. They obviously didn't play this past week either, but at least this time they have an excuse and there's no possible way they can lose on the bye week. But we'll be back next week breaking down all things Cowboys, gloating about our records when the Chargers win, when the Lions win, when what was the other one I picked? When the Buccaneers upset the Ravens. It's all going to be fun next week, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday morning at the Writer's Block for Brandon Clements, for Chris Holling, signing off for the Writer's Block. Even in the loss, we still end with a hearty, how about them Cowboys?